It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Well, earlier this month, a change was made at the top of Chicago Magazine. New Tribune owner Michael Farrell replaced editor Beth Fenner with Splash editor-in-chief and publisher Susanna Homan. Homan's no stranger to magazine production. She built Michigan Avenue magazine from the ground up, and she successfully runs Splash, the Sun-Times-owned magazine that focuses on style and culture. And Homan knows newspapers, too. She was the woman behind Susanna's Night Out, the popular nightlife column that ran in the Sun-Times from 2001 to 2008. That's over 15 years of Chicago media, not including her time at Northwestern, graduating from the Medill School of Journalism. And it's my pleasure to welcome Susanna Homan to the big table tonight. Susanna, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks.
Good to
see
you.
Great to be here.
So, yeah, so why take this job? I mean, this is a big job. Why move from Splash to Chicago Magazine?
Well, it's interesting because it wasn't something that I was gunning for or that 3 weeks ago I even knew was going to happen. It happened pretty suddenly. And it's a sort of opportunity that when you get the phone call and somebody says, you know, you're getting traded to the majors, you take it. You have to.
Right.
But it was definitely a surreal time because I had about a day's notice before the rest of the world did. And, you know, I had to leave my Splash team, and I love them. They're my family. And then on Monday morning, 2 weeks ago, I had to meet a whole new team, and I didn't know any of them. So
that's got to be so stressful. I mean, obviously the idea of moving on is great for your career. And like you said, you have to go when the opportunity is there. But to be able to tell a team that trusts you and to move to a team that doesn't know you, I mean, there's a lot of stress involved in this month.
It's a little weird, I'll be honest. And, you know, and they're all the most incredibly talented and capable people. And I was aware walking in that they'd be looking at me and thinking, well, does she want to change everything? And, you know, I have a lot of empathy for people going through transitions like that. So it was very hard for me to walk in. I wanted to make sure everybody felt okay. And it's been a couple of very tentative weeks and spending time getting to know people and, you know, learning about their lives. They have kids, they have dogs, they have homes. And because I think it's really important to know them as people and what their interests are. So,
well, you're no stranger to transition. I mean, you've moved from place to.
For
I mean,
sure. but not by design is the weird thing. I mean, you know, I've had one of those careers. I grew up in a working class immigrant household, and by the time I was 25 years old, I'd kind of surpassed every expectation I had for myself, which is not saying much. I didn't really have big expectations for my life at all. So every time something like this happens, it's kind of. For me, like, okay, let's do it.
Well, I'm interested. I want to talk because we got you for the whole hour, and we're going to talk about magazines because what you did at Michigan Avenue Magazine, you pretty much built it from the ground up. But you were recruited from Michigan Avenue Magazine to run Splash by Michael Farrell.
That's right.
And then again, recruited out of Splash to come work at Chicago Magazine. Talk about that, because it seems like Michael Farrell has pinpointed you to be the magazine person in Chicago.
You know, I think it's how everybody who owns or runs a company is. They have these trusted deputies. And if you look at the people he's brought in any organization that he's had, you see a lot of that. And I think that's something you see kind of in any sort of situation. People bring the people they trust in. But I first met Michael probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago. It was a long time ago. And when I was at Michigan Avenue, you know, I encountered him several times based on stories that I was working on. And I also knew him through the Economic Club, which is kind of a business nerd.
Yeah, he was a tech guy, right? He was running
so,
techs and stuff.
So
like
I would
that.
Go to these events, and I would see him. I would see his wife. And what happens is when he bought the Sun-Times, he said, oh, I know the right person to launch a magazine because she already runs a magazine and already launched one. So so I spent 4 years building Splash. And, you know, it's not easy to do. You're going against industry trends and market forces when you're launching two magazines post 2008.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of people trying to get, and I want to talk after the break. I want to ask you about that because, yeah, a lot of people are getting out of magazines.
Yeah,
and
right.
You seem to be like doubling down on magazines.
I seem to be. I hope it's a good
but,
idea.
You know, I mean, it is interesting because you've seen so like a little blowback to Michael Farrell publish or, you know, owning the Tribune and the Sun-Times, all the kind of stuff that happened. And your move to the Chicago Magazine made headlines and everything, and media
sure
was
did,
stirring
but
around.
I'll tell you what, I decided 2 weeks ago when this all blew up, I started reading the coverage and I thought, you know, do I really want to look at the comments? Do I want to know? I've seen enough comments about me when I've changed jobs in the past.
Right.
They're not pretty.
You should host an AM radio show at night and see what people say.
You don't want to know what people say about you. So I decided to just kind of let it be. And I got plenty of text messages from people saying, wow, people really hate you. Or, you know, you should see the mean things people are saying. And I thought, you know, I really shouldn't read any of this because I don't want it in my head. I want to be able to go and create and do it freely without really worrying about what people are saying.
Well, there's been a lot of media out there, even, you know, from the Chicago Reader or other places that have said, you know, they don't like the move because they think that they think highly of Chicago Magazine, and they think that what's going to happen is that it's going to be the new Splash. That
sure.
You're going to take Splash and make it Chicago Magazine.
Well, what's interesting about that is Splash was a very specific mandate that I was given. The Sun-Times is a universe, and there is a news section and a sports section, and there are all sorts of writers and editors doing what they're good at. And so when I was brought in, I was specifically asked to do a style section, and that's what I did. And it was meant to appeal to a type of reader that wasn't being addressed. We know people's attention spans are very short. My attention span is about 4 seconds long now. You know, because you're sitting there, you're watching
right.
TV,
your phone,
and you're on
right,
your iPhone, right, and you, right. you know, you're texting people, and you're checking your email every 8 minutes. And so Splash was developed with kind of the modern reader in mind. You know, 15-minute read, easy to get through, tons of pretty pictures, fun writing, up to the minute. High frequency. So it was created to address a very specific need in the market because there were already plenty of monthly magazines. And when I was at Michigan Avenue, I had a very specific mandate. It was meant to appeal to those one percenters, the luxury lifestyle, of which I'm really not familiar. But, you know, there are readers who want that sort of publication. So I think it's funny when people criticize what I've done and they put me in a box. I mean, I guess that's what people do, but it says more about them than about me.
Well, I mean, what do you see Chicago Magazine being? I mean, what is Chicago Magazine to you? Is it a service magazine? Is it a trade? Like, what is Chicago Magazine?
I mean, it's everything, just like the city. So, you know, they've done a lot of really incredible stories about crime, and a crime is a part of life if you live in Chicago. But they also do service pieces, and for people not in the industry, that means, you know, they taste 200 pizzas and rank the 30 best,
right,
you know,
right,
so
right.
And that's important to Chicagoans, too. And personality profiles, the fascinating people who make our city tick. I mean, these are all elements. And I think that a successful magazine weaves together all of these notes so that as you read it, you see something gritty, you see something beautiful, you see something informational, and it delivers an entire experience. And it hits all those different notes.
You know, as we mentioned, I mean, you have been recruited and you've sort of been a deputy to Michael Farrow. What does the public or the media or the critics, what do they not understand about Michael Farrow?
Well, I mean, I definitely have a perspective, and I don't know if mine is right, but I guess one thing I would say is, you know, people criticize him for swooping in and spending all this money and making all these dramatic changes. But if I were worth hundreds of millions of dollars, I would be on a yacht somewhere. I probably wouldn't be spending it trying to save an industry. So I think that he should get more respect as being somebody who is taking this great wealth. And not a lot of people. So a few years ago when he bought the Sun-Times was, you know, within weeks of going under
right.
entirely and no money in the bank and no ability to pay the bills, and hundreds of people would have lost their jobs. So he stepped in, and, you know, this is money that he could be passing on to his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and instead he was trying to save a newspaper. And of all the investors, he put in the most money, the biggest chunk. And again, you know, he's the one who's doubling down now on the Tribune. And so I have a lot of respect for the fact that he's unafraid to enter an industry that the world says is dying and invest heavily in it and save jobs and try to innovate. And, you know, it's not easy to innovate in this industry because there are a lot of people who've been doing what they're doing for decades. So you are trying to turn around a ship. And it's exciting to be on the front lines as this is happening.
Susanna Homan's the new editor and publisher at Chicago Magazine. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about magazine production because we've mentioned it a couple times now. People are just sort of like, let's not do magazines. And you're like, I'm in. So we'll talk more with Susanna here
Sounds
on the
good.
Download. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's The Big Table. My guest, Susanna Homan, who's the editor and publisher of Chicago Magazine. Double title.
Right?
I mean, there's a little bit of criticism on that, too, because, you know, that's usually two jobs.
It is.
Why are you both?
You know, it's interesting. When I started with the Sun-Times and Splash 4 years ago, they handed me the editor and publisher title in that role, but it got a lot less attention, apparently.
Right.
And Jim Kirk is the editor and publisher of the Sun-Times, the newspaper. And, you know, at the time, 4 years ago, I wasn't sure that it made sense. And the more time I spent in the role, the more it became apparent that it makes sense, because there are a lot of business decisions that you have to weigh.
Right.
So, for instance, you know, if you are at Chicago Magazine, a big chunk of the circulation is newsstand sales. So if you are making a decision of what to put on the cover, as we were making today, you have to weigh your editorial interest with what's going to sell on the newsstands, because it's the bottom line issue.
But wasn't that always the idea of an editor and publisher being separate, because then you would you almost have a firewall where one has an idea and the other one bounces the other idea off, and you kind of protect yourself in the way that, you know, you don't make bad choices.
Yeah, you know, hopefully I won't be making bad choices. you're gonna have to tell me in a few months. But it's not so much that you're saying, okay, we're gonna do an 8-page story on this advertiser. That's not gonna happen. But it's more that you're just aware of the metrics and all the things that feed into creating a successful publication.
You know, we mentioned this and we teased it out before the break about magazine production, because you were a columnist. What got you interested in magazines, especially Michigan Avenue Magazine, which is what you is sort of your baby?
I know this may sound ridiculous, but I never had any intention of going into magazines. I was happy doing Susanna's Night Out, and I was approached by the company that was launching Michigan Avenue in Chicago. It's a company based in New York that does city magazines all over the country. And they said, you know, we'd like you to interview for this editor position. And I tried to talk them out of hiring me. I said, I like to read magazines. Will you expect me to launch one? Insane. And I tried to talk the Sun-Times out of Splash. I said, that'll never work. And in this case too, I was like, yeah, are you sure you want me for this role? I guess it must be, I must have low self-esteem.
What have you learned about magazine? But even at the beginning of that, being like, what? I don't know anything about magazines, but now you do, because you have done Michigan Avenue Magazine, you've done Splash, you're now the editor and publisher of Chicago Magazine. What did you learn taking over at Michigan Avenue Magazine about magazine production?
I think the main thing is to focus on people. You know, one of the things people discount, you know, the whole Susanna's Night Out thing, and they think, oh, just a party girl. P.S. I fall asleep by about 10:15 every night. I'm the opposite of a party girl. I'm going to be falling asleep at the next commercial break. But what that job taught me is it introduced me to every power player in the city at a very young age, and it allowed me to have perspective on people and what they do and what makes them important, and, you know, how they all contribute to the lifestyle we have. And it really is about people. If you want to engage readers, the stories that fascinate me the most are the ones about people.
Right.
And so, you know, when you have that institutional knowledge built on 15 years of kicking around a city and just encountering different people in different contexts and figuring out how they're connected to each other, that I think is what makes me good at my job, because I really care about those people.
I mean, even
I care, you know,
even stories about people, you go further to relationships with people. I mean, the idea of getting to know the power players, or even the people from your column, to be able to continue to follow them or understand their place in the city as you move forward.
It's something that's hard to do if you're an out of towner. You can't just plop into the city and really understand unless you've been really following it for a long time.
Magazines, I mean, 5 years ago, we were having conversations about there won't be any more magazines. So we're going to sunset.
And a lot of them have gone under. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to be reading on tablets, and it's going to be something different. We've seen a lot of them go under, but we still see at the newsstands glossies like Chicago Magazine.
Sure.
What keeps them in production, in print production?
I mean, part of it is you hope to be kind of among the last ones standing. So as obviously, as advertising revenue continues to go down across the industry, as the weaker players fold, that does create more opportunities for the ones that survive. But I personally, I've always been a magazine junkie. At any given time, I subscribe to about a dozen at home, and every couple of years, I change up what I subscribe to because I want to, you know, see how another publication does it. And there's something about the magazine experience and looking at, you know, a luscious photo essay or reading a long form story that, you know, I don't know that a tablet experience really translates.
Right. I always feel that with like websites, because you hear that all the time, like magazines You know, you can just go on a website and find it. But the way that a magazine is published or even or edited, in the way that it's a journey from page one to the end, I mean, there's something to that.
It can be an emotional, sensual, you know, an experience that's delivered to you as you go through the pages. So that's the goal that you want your publication to deliver. It's not always achievable.
Do you think that there's still an audience for that? Do people want that kind of experience from media?
Oh, definitely. There definitely is, because, you know, you see it in the circulation. There's still a very strong circulation trend. You see it in the web traffic that people are still you get to see through your web traffic the sort of stories that people are actually responding to. Back in the day, it was all just done based on your gut.
Susanna Homan is the editor and publisher of Chicago Magazine, brand new job.
Yep.
Let's take a break and we'll get the news. We come back. I want to talk about style, culture, and celebrity.
Sounds good.
I mean, it's an interesting town for it, right? I mean, you could be doing that in a different town, but you do it here. I just want to know what your thought is on the relationship here in Chicago to celebrity. We'll talk about it.
Sounds good.
Susanna Homan, my guest at the big table tonight. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Bobcat Goldthwait.
Nice.
How about that, huh?
How about that?
You're great. I'm looking forward to talking to him because, you know, he's made the rounds today. And I paid attention to, and I listened. He was here on Bill and Wendy earlier today. And he's got a really interesting take on celebrity and the idea of being fulfilled.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like he's getting to a point and having to come to terms with what people know him for. Like, he really doesn't really like the fact that everyone knows him from Police Academy and that kind of stuff, you know, because he's
that
done
ship
so,
has sailed, though,
right?
Hasn't it?
No, it hasn't. But that's what he was saying. Like, you know, it just hasn't. Like, people still are interested in him doing
right.
That character, and that's not who he is. So it's kind of interesting, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. So that's coming
cool.
up in the 9 o'clock hour here. Susanna Homan, my guest tonight here at The Download. She is the editor and publisher at Chicago Magazine, just started.
Yeah.
At that job.
2 weeks in.
We've talked about that job. We've talked about magazines. And the other part of it is celebrity. I mean, you did Susanna's Night Out, which was really a column, a nightlife column.
That's right.
From 2001 to 2008. And that's what you kind of did here. I mean, you chronicled the lives of celebrities and nightlife here in Chicago. How'd you get into that?
It was a funny assignment because the editor of the Sun-Times at the time, he basically said, so here's our idea. We're going to hand you a camera. You're going to take your own pictures. And, you know, when you go out to these nightclubs every week, you're going to get in a picture with somebody, hopefully somebody famous. So you become part
like
of the
early
party.
Early selfies.
Early selfies, exactly. And, you know, and at first I was like, okay, that sounds like fun. But after about 6 months, I was like, I'm really sick of seeing myself. And I'm sure other people are too. So so it eventually evolved. And I went out to all these things and I met all these people. And it was an education, you know. I don't think there was a party in Chicago that happened during that time, a grand opening, you know, a fundraiser that I didn't hit. So.
This is a party city. I mean, there's a lot going on. But it isn't New York and it isn't L.A. It has its own sort of style, its own celebrity culture. It's not the same thing as Page Six or what you see from TMZ out in, you know, in
sure.
front of the restaurant.
I mean, here it's primarily media and athletes, although now we get more and more actors with all these, you know, Chicago PDs and Chicago Med. And there are some more people like that kind of rolling around town, but not that many by comparison in New York or L.A.
Since you did that column, I mean, I mentioned TMZ. I mean, the world has changed in terms of how we view celebrity or cover celebrity. Now
sure.
you have TMZ and you have so many different blogs that every time a celebrity walks out a door, there are 40 pictures taken of this person. I mean, it's really like just, I mean, it's almost overkill, but it's a different than what you came up with. And even in 2001, there seems to be a change in the way that we cover celebrity.
Yeah, there certainly has. I mean, my approach back in the day, by the way, I think these people think I'm Paula Abdul because we're getting a lot of stares. And that's who everybody always thinks I am, right? They know, oh yeah. They're like, that's the editor and publisher of Chicago Magazine, for sure.
That's Susanna from Susanna's Night Out.
That's what they're saying. But, you know, when I was doing that, I approached it with a lot of kind of innocence because things didn't go viral in those days. And so I always figured I would write about what actually happened when I was out on the town. So, like, when R. Kelly balled up his phone number on a napkin and slipped it in my hand. I wrote about it, you know. And when Kanye West, he was, you know, he actually was really weird when I met him because he was afraid I was going to write on his shirt when I was taking notes. And he took my pen and showed me how I should hold it so that I wouldn't write on his shirt. You know, I had all these like funny and I would just write about that. Like, you know, I was at this party and Kanye West thought I was going to write on his shirt. And it was a different time and much more innocent because you could do things without really thinking about, you know, thinking about it following you on the internet for the rest of your life.
Well, I mean, what was your relationship like with publicists and people like that who, you know, if Kanye West was acting erratic or you wrote about R. Kelly, did you get calls from people that were like, no,
I did sometimes, you know, there were people who were mad at me.
Cause that's a whole relationship that people don't know that most of these celebrities have publicists. They're trying to get into your column.
Yeah. The person who was, sadly angriest at me back in those days was John Cusack, actually, because I wrote about a fundraiser that he skipped and, you know, yeah, people would occasionally, but usually the stuff that I was writing about was just not that. I mean, it was party coverage, so it wasn't anything that deep or difficult. So for the most part, you know, publicists were welcoming.
For you, I mean, it's evolved because Michigan Avenue Magazine was more style and culture. Splash is the same concept, style and culture, but it still has. You know, you're attracted to Splash because of the celebrity. You know, obviously a ton came out of Jenny McCarthy being able to do the guest columns and things like that.
I gotta say, I think Jenny McCarthy gets a bad rap. I've worked with a lot of writers. I've worked with a lot of people who've been published by national magazines in the New York Times. And I would put Jenny, I mean, you're going to get hate texts and emails for me saying this, but I would put Jenny up against nearly anyone because,
really? Yeah,
she is one of the hardest working people. And when I initially met with her, you know, she was supposed to do, we were doing these like occasional celebrity pieces and she said, no, I want a full-time job. I want to write 5 days a week. And I said, no, you don't. There's no way. I mean, professional writers can barely keep up a 5 day a week pace. You know, that's just not really something you want to do or commit to. And she said, no, I do. And she wrote some incredible blog pieces for Splash. We kept the stuff that she did in print pretty light. Most of her kind of heavier and more thoughtful stuff went online just because it didn't really fit the format in a, you know, small publication. And then she got the job in The View and then, you know, she became much busier. Yeah. So that ended. But, you know, she's a really hardworking, thoughtful, and responsive person. And I can tell you, you know, if I email her right now, within 60 seconds, I'll get an email response. And if I ask her something, you know, she's about as professional as they come. So I have a lot of good things to say about her.
But, I mean, the idea of Jenny McCarthy doing the column or the other guest celebrities that have done stuff for Splash, I mean, the idea was to take celebrity and put them into almost a content part of it as opposed to covering the celebrities. They became the content. I mean, that's a change. That's a switch from what you were doing.
And it was a little bit of an experiment. And I won't say that every single celebrity who wrote those Daily Splash columns approached it with the same amount of depth or thoughtfulness. You know, it was across the board. Some people are great writers and some people are not. But the reason you have to test things like this, you know, Donnie Wahlberg, Jenny's husband, has been writing some recent pieces for Splash. And when he writes something, he tweets it out to 1 million people. She tweets it out to 2 million
Absolutely,
people. And
right.
You get more traffic on that piece than something, you know, that you could have spent 3 weeks researching. And you can't not acknowledge that as a publication fighting for survival and relevance, that this is the sort of stuff that a lot of people want to read. So, you know, it's a part of that fabric. It's not the entire thing, but it's a piece of it.
You know, you mentioned that the celebrity culture here in Chicago is pretty much, it's changed because actors come here now. You know, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Empire is here.
Yep.
But it always has been media and athletes. I mean, the Michael Jordans and the anchors on the 10 o'clock news. But it's changed. I mean, you seeing, you know, with media coverage, you're seeing so many more, you know, media people, whether it's a columnist, whether it's a publisher, like we're talking about, are getting more coverage. For you, I mean, you've been on both sides of the media. I mean, you've been the person who's covered celebrity, but you're also the person who's kind of been in the celebrity. You're a celebrity, whether you like it or not.
Not really.
But you know, yeah. So does that help inform the coverage that you do, the idea that your, you know, your personal life and other things have been in newspapers, have been there,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I think
does that
it does.
Help you,
it,
like,
well,
with
it certainly
your job?
Makes you empathetic because as easy it is, as it is to attack public people, you know, I've been the subject of attacks and mean comments and scrutiny. You know, when you're going through a divorce, the last thing you want to do is read about it. Just like anybody. So it does give you that perspective of the sensitivity for what people must be going through, because people are people and we all suffer pain and humiliation and whatever it may be. But also, I mean, being out there, the good thing about it is it gets you access, because you know who to call if you want to get the interview, and that person will take your call. So in many ways, it can be helpful.
Susanna Homan is the publisher and editor of Chicago Magazine, her new job, formerly of Splash, Michigan Avenue Magazine, Susanna's Night Out, the column. When we come back, let's talk about Chicago, because you stayed here. I mean, you could have gone to New York. You could be doing style and culture where they publish magazines. You could be in L.A. where, you know, the celebrity culture is you can make more money.
What keeps
you here? What keeps you in the Chicago area? Susanna Homan, my guest tonight at the Big Table. Stay with us. A little Kanye West for you there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Susanna Homan, my guest tonight, The Big Table, publisher and editor, Chicago Magazine. Before that, Splash. Before that, Chicago Michigan or Michigan Avenue Magazine. Before that, Susanna's Night Out. Yeah, I mean, you have a lot. I mean, you've had a lot of
quite a
experience.
Body of work, don't I?
I mean, it says a lot about, I mean, you have really climbed the ladder to Chicago Magazine. I mean, because Chicago Magazine is considered, you know, it's the jewel of the magazines here in Chicago.
It really is. And it's not something I take lightly at all. You know, it's one of the things I've really been trying to do is go through all the archives and go through old issues and remember the best moments, recent and old, you know, remember the best writers, you know, really learn the current staff and what they're most proud of, because many of them have won awards. You know, it's a lot to take in, and I think it's an important part of figuring out the future.
Because you've had this experience of moving into different places, starting some stuff from the ground, I mean, does it change your approach to starting a new job? I mean, you're not the kind of person, or maybe you are, I don't know, who walks in and is like, all right, everybody in here right now, this blue needs to turn green right now. Susanna's got a new plan. Like, how do you approach a new job like this?
I think it's an evolution. You know, as the editor, everyone has different things that they're interested in. So always, you know, there's going to be a point of view that I bring to it that'll be different from anybody else's point of view, because it's based on your opinions and your interests. But I don't believe in any jarring changes, because number one, it would be a bad business decision. There's an existing readership that is committed to what is currently happening. So you don't want to do anything that disrespects the readers or that feels too foreign to them. And so you make slow changes. You might decide, you know, instead of running this in the middle, I'm going to run it in the back. Or I might change the section title, or, you know, you might make like tiny changes as you go. And then eventually, you know, those things issue by issue start to create a framework.
So what's the short term and long term for Chicago Magazine? I mean, are what you just said, I mean, is you sort of tweak little things. I mean, do you have are you formulating a plan for what you think about 30, 60, 90, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, that kind of thing?
I am. And, you know, honestly, it involves a lot of stakeholders. So I've been doing one on ones with everybody who works there. And it's an enormous team. I've never worked anywhere that has. Oh, it's fun. People are taking pictures outside. Yeah. This is the craziest studio I've ever been in. And they think I'm Paula Abdul. I swear to you.
They think you're Susanna Homan. Go ahead.
So, but yeah, you know, they have about 40 people who work there, you know, between the editorial side and the sales side. They're in an enormous operation, much bigger than anything I'm used to. And step one has been sitting down with people as groups, but then one-on-one, and just kind of understanding, what are they all up against? What are the salespeople up against? What is the marketing person up against? What is the circulation person up against? What are the different editorial groups up against? Because they have things that they want to do that they, you know, for whatever reason, they may have challenges. So part of what I'm trying to figure out is, you know, what can I help make happen? But it takes time. I'm only 2 weeks in, and it would be, I think, premature for me to announce, you know, sweeping changes.
So you're not going to change the name?
Yeah, well, I'm going to call it Splish.
Splish. All right, Chicago. Let's talk about the city.
Yes.
You went to Northwestern here. You have spent 15 years in Chicago media. Why? What about this town inspires you, and what about this town do you want to leave behind?
Oh, no, leave behind, nothing. I love it here. And, you know, something happens when you've spent your entire career in a city. And one of those things is that you kind of can't walk down the street without bumping into somebody you love. You know, so I live probably a mile from this studio, and I'm just active, and I go out and I see people. And, you know, when I go to other cities, it's just not the same. And any intersection that you could point to, I could tell you, you know, oh yeah, you know, I went on a first date with somebody at that bar, or, you know, I had some experience there. And that's something deep and special that you can't really recreate anywhere else. So I've never wanted to leave. I've never had any interest in leaving Chicago. I like to travel to refresh my brain, but there is nothing that would make me want to leave here.
Well, no New York City, no L.A. I mean, those are they seem to be more industry specific to the kind of industry that you're in. What about those towns?
Yeah, New York is definitely the center of publishing. And I've spent a lot of time in New York. My sister actually married someone from the East Coast, and she lives just outside of New York in Connecticut. And my parents moved there from – I grew up in Elmwood Park. So, I mean, that is like about a Chicago, right?
Right,
I mean,
right,
is there
right.
any more Chicago than Elmwood Park? But they all live in Connecticut now, and I visit them, you know, every 3 months or so. And so I'm in New York a ton, and New York just doesn't have the magic for me that Chicago does. And it I don't think it ever will. So I've never even seriously looked at moving to New York. L.A., I mean, please. I don't have the money to live on the water, and I don't like all the strip malls. So I'm not an L.A. person. It's just not for me.
I mean, are you where you want to be? I mean, as a journalist, as someone who went to Northwestern, I mean, this is kind of a dream job.
Yeah, this is the show. Yeah, I would say that, you know, this is I didn't expect to be here. That's the thing. And I have a lot of respect for the people who are already there and who allow me to be in their presence. You know, I really want to honor what is already there and do whatever I can to try to make it something that everybody in the city wants to pick up every single time an issue comes out.
Susanna Homan is the editor and publisher at Chicago Magazine, recently at Splash, before that Michigan Avenue Magazine, before that Susanna's Night Out, before mm-hmm. that Northwestern, before that Elmwood Park, go all the way back.
Before that Gottlieb Hospital, in Melrose Park. Yeah.
She's my guest tonight at the big table. Thanks so much for coming in tonight.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.